This is Mike. I'm here with Derek and Pete. We're going to be talking a little bit about the Toronto Maple Leafs and their season. So, Derek, first question to you. Do you think this year was an overall success?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me here, Mike. I'm glad to talk about the Leafs. It's one subject that I actually know a lot about. Overall, I can see positives, but overall, I don't think it was a success. If you look at the first half of the season, they were just miserable. They were absolutely miserable. You know what? There's an argument in the latter half of the season that, yeah, they were about the fourth best team after the All-Star break. I get that. But they only started playing when they had to play. If you take a look when they were actually out of the playoff race, officially out of the playoff race, they lost all three straight games. That just shows the level of compete in this team, and I don't think it's there where it's supposed to be.
Pete, what do you have to say about that?
Conversely, I mean, yes, that you can look at it from a negative perspective, but I think you have to stress the positives. I mean, they improved their record from last year. They were second last in the league last year, and they made a playoff push this year. They had a goaltender that emerged as a number one goaltender, James Reimer. He's only 23 years old, came in mid-season, posted a record of 20 wins, 10 losses, had a .921 save percentage, which is amongst the elite goaltenders in the NHL. The team was also able to profile a bunch of young talent after they traded a whole bunch of players away, they're able to see them develop and see what kind of future that the team has behind them.
But don't you think they followed the exact same pattern of previous Leafs teams in the sense that they're awful for the first half, yet when the pressure's not on them, they succeed? They followed that exact same path this year. So there's an argument saying that this is a completely different team. I don't see it. They follow the exact same path as previous teams.
Well, so what are they missing then? What's the next step for the Leafs to make that push into a team where they can be consistent for the whole season?
Well, what they've needed since Matt Sundin left the team is a number one center, especially with Phil Kessel being basically alone on a wing. Now they have Lupo, who they picked up mid-season, but he wasn't getting any help from anybody. So what they need is somebody who can come in there and feed him the puck like Mark Savard was able to do in Boston when he scored 40 goals in a year. They don't have that, and they need to get that. And once they do get that, with the pieces that they have in place right now, they should be a contender. They should be somewhere.
Let me stop you right there. You're completely right that they do need a number one center. The fact that you just referred to the pieces they have in place, what pieces do they have in place? Okay, I know, look at the second line. You've got Grabowski, Kuhlman, and MacArthur. All of those players are pretty much one-year wonders. Grabowski last year, take a look at him, absolutely nothing. Kuhlman has been on a steady but slow climb. MacArthur, what has he done previous to this year? They're all one-year wonders. You can't base your future based upon a one-year wonder.
But at the same time, every player's got to break out at a certain time. Kuhlman's only 23 or 24 years old. He had 29 goals this year. It's an improvement from last year. Grabowski led the team in plus-minus. Not only was he scoring goals, but he was preventing them on the defensive side as well. And Clark MacArthur added that gritty leadership, role-playing kind of guy who could also put the puck in that. He was second on the team in points behind Kessel.
I will agree with you. I will agree with you that all three had an unbelievable year. But I'd say if you go back and look based upon percentages, that you're bound to have at least one or two players have a sub year compared to what they had this year.
Well, you do have a point there. I mean, but you have to look at the Leafs basically, I wouldn't say basically gave up, but management decided that this year wasn't the year, and they started the fire sale, getting rid of Kaberle, getting rid of Beauchemin, trading away for Stieg for essentially nothing. I mean, we got Lupul in the Beauchemin trade, as well as some prospects, but these players aren't coming up just yet. And the existing players within the organization were able to toe the line and step up when they were called upon. The guys like Darryl Boyce, who got called up mid-season, he was second in the team in plus-minus, good two-way center. Guys like Tim Brent got a larger role, started playing the point on the power play, was penalty killing, and was very integral in the special teams, and a large part of why the Leafs were able to be successful.
Well, sorry to interject again, but one of the main things I do think they are missing, and I know I will probably get a lot of flack for this, is a goaltender. Previous to my previous point, talking about MacArthur, Kuhlman, and Grabowski, Reimer, although he played great, and I will give him that, is an unproven rookie. You cannot base your team on an unproven rookie. So I'm thinking they are missing a veteran goaltending presence. May that be a Vokoun, may that be a Brizgalov, maybe even bringing back Chiguer for a discounted price. I believe they are missing a veteran goaltender.
Now, is that because you think this team is capable of winning right now?
I just don't think you can trust this team right now. They've had a lot of one-year wonders, and I just don't think you can trust them.
So, but I mean, though, if you can't trust this team right now, then, you know, why not have a young goalie to build for the future?
Well, don't you want insurance? What happens if that...
Sure.
I would have to agree with you, but, I mean, they brought in Jonas Gustafsson, who's a young goalie. He's 25 years old, thereabouts, from the Swedish Elite League last year, and he showed, you know, glimpses of promise at the end of last season. He was playing well for the Marlies at the end of the year. Reimer, obviously, we've already discussed him. UC Rinus, they brought in as a free agent to play for the Marlies, and he had limited success. But it, you know, you have three young goalies, and I think the Leafs' resources can be allocated more effectively because their problem really has been putting pucks in the net, not so much keeping out, especially after this season.
Okay, so the Leafs' resources. You mentioned the Cabrera trade and the Versteeg trade earlier. We got some first round picks in those trades. Is that the way the Leafs should go, through drafting? Is that how they improve, or do they go out and get that big name Brad Richards or Brizgalov?
Well, over the long term, I think you have to use the draft, especially in a salary cap game where young talent is at such a premium. Now, I think you need to use a combination of the two. Leafs obviously aren't, you know, Nazem Kadri was drafted to be a top line center. Is he that top line center yet? No. So I think you have to build through free agency if you want to win now. But I think that the Leafs, you can perceive this season as a success because the Leafs were able to bring in the promise for the future with extra draft picks. They have 11 draft picks coming up in the 2011 draft, two of them first rounders. They're late first rounders, but it also gives you leverage to trade up and improve your draft position. And with that, I mean, the Leafs are looking, you know, they probably won't. They won't win the Cup anytime soon, but, you know, they'll make the playoffs next year with the team that they have right now, in my personal opinion.
I disagree with you. I still think they have about two or three more years and a lot more pieces to go. As I said, a veteran goaltender. You do have to do a top line center. I'm trying to take a realistic approach on this. That, you know what, if players have the exact same year as they had this year, which, you know what, I hope they do, but realistically I don't think you can bank on that. I still think that they're about 3 years away from contending, maybe 2 years away from making the playoffs.
Okay, so what we can agree on is that Brian Burke is making the right personnel decisions in one way or another, whether it be sooner or later, they are moving in the right direction. Now, what about the coaching situation? Is Ron Wilson the guy for this team?
I think Ron Wilson was dealt a really poor hand, and he was expected to make things happen too quickly. He deals with the second youngest team in the league behind the Edmonton Oilers, who finished dead last. So the second youngest team finished in 10th in the East, whereas the youngest team finished last in the entire league. So obviously he's doing something right. Now the Leafs probably have more developed talent right now. The Oilers might have a little bit more promise for the future as we speak right now. But I think he's done a fairly good job. I mean, he has to deal with a very aggressive media. Not a lot of people are able to deal with that. And yes, you know, he snaps every so often, but I think anybody would. So I think that just let him go for a couple more years, and as the team gets better, if the record doesn't improve, then he'll be gone.
I appreciate your point, Pete, but I couldn't disagree more. I think Ron Wilson has completely worn out his welcome in Toronto. If you look at most recently the past two coaches who have been fired, DeBoer in Florida and Crawford in Dallas, they were hired there for 2 years, and they missed the playoffs for 2 years. Dallas this year missed the playoffs by one game, by one win in overtime. Both have been proven coaches, minus DeBoer, he was a rookie coach. But if you take a look at those organizations, they realized the path they were heading down, and they fired their coaches. They needed a brand new change. And in Toronto, okay, as you just said, he's fiery with the media. His relationship in Toronto has just gone way past due, that I think it's completely fractured and it's beyond repair.
Well, see, you brought up an interesting point. I mean, coaches are getting scapegoated for their team's lack of success. If you look at Mark Crawford, they gave him 2 years in a very competitive Western Conference, which is has better teams than the East does over the last couple of years. He loses his top center for a third of the season, and they're in contention for the playoffs, like almost until, you know, the final whistle. Do you really think that he deserved to be fired for the job that he did?
I do. you just touched upon consistency. Now, there's been a few things which Ron Wilson has been consistent about. One is his late season charge with the Leafs. Two is his absolutely brutal special teams. That's a reflection on the coach. For the past 3 years, the Toronto Maple Leafs power play, and especially their penalty kill, has been in the top bottom five of the league, and that reflects completely on the coach. Look at all the personnel changes that we have had, yet we're still consistently brutal on special teams. And I think that, as I've mentioned a couple times before, is a direct relation to the coach. And you need special teams to succeed in this game.
Couldn't agree with you more. Special teams is very integral to a team's success. You look at the teams that are doing really well right now. I mean, Vancouver has the best power play in the league. They're the top of the West. Pittsburgh has the best penalty kill. They are able to make the playoffs without their two star players. So I agree that special teams is in fact very important. I think that the Leafs will improve over time with more tenured players, with players that are more comfortable with each other. A lot of these guys are still getting to know each other for the most part. They haven't grown up through the system together. They've been acquisitions. You have Dion Phaneuf, who came in last year. I mean, I think the Leafs have turned over their entire roster from 3 years ago. There isn't anybody left after Caberle was traded. So, I mean, there's going to be some growing pains. But at the same time, once those growing pains, you know, once they come out of that, then I think it's looking up.
All right, great points on both sides, guys. Just to finish off here, final thoughts and maybe a little bit of predictions for next year, Pete?
Well, I mean, it's hard to make a prediction before the draft, and especially before, you know, July 1st when free agency opens. But that being said, I'd say the Leafs probably finish 7th place in the Eastern Conference next year. They will they'll have stable goaltending if Reimer and Gustafson stay healthy. If they're able to lock down a Brad Richards or a Thomas Plekanec or make a trade with draft picks to be able to put somebody between Leupold and Kessel to complement that Kuhlman and Grabowski, and if they re-sign MacArthur line, then I think they're gonna have two lines where it's gonna be really hard to shut them both down on a continuous basis.
As much as I'd like to agree with you, don't get me wrong, I'd love to agree with you, I just don't think the Leafs are there yet. As I've said in previous points, yes, this year there's definitely some positives. Look at Reimer, look at the line of Kuhlman, Grabowski, and MacArthur. You just can't bank on everyone having as good of a year next year as they did this year. There's going to be some injuries, there's going to be some slumps. For my prediction next year, I believe they'll finish outside the playoffs again. As I said, I think they're about 2 years away from making the playoffs, 3 years from contending. I'd like to be an optimist, but as I said, I am a realist, and I fully believe that there's just too many variables which the Leafs will have to overcome in order to make the playoffs. I don't think they will. I would like to see them make the playoffs, but I just don't think it's possible.
All right. Thanks, guys. Well, for Derek Purdy and Pete Stewart, I'm Mike Woodrow. Thanks for listening.